a small world. Corey, is he a rural for Ursa? Mm-hmm. Okay. Huh? Yes.
He was not.
Okay. Well, I helped my son-in-law Friday night, kind of a last-minute thing. Well, he planned it out, but we poured concrete. And Corey was there, and when you mentioned that, because I knew that his I don't know if it's his wife, I guess, that the fiance, inducing labor tomorrow, and I thought, can't be, it's coincidence. That is a small world. Yeah. Have you ever had a chance to talk to him about spiritual issues? Has he ever opened up to that at all? Okay. Because that's my prayer for him, that I just met him that one day and thought, okay, this would be a great opportunity. Yeah. Okay, well, neat. Small world. I thought, I'm going to find out about that. That's pretty cool. All right. If I give you a name, I'm going to ask you to tell me what is synonymous with this particular name. Now, there are young people in here, there are old people in here, and there are ancient people in here. I would say probably the ancient people in here, that was really, really, really young when this happened, will know what this is, okay? So if I mention this name, I want you to think of what first comes to your mind when I say this particular name, okay? Flip Wilson. What's that? The devil made me do it. How many of you have seen Flip Wilson? Oh, that's the ancients right there. Look at it. Got their hands up. Flip Wilson was a comedian years and years ago. And he I can't remember the name of it. He dressed up like a gal. He would talk and just walk like that. He was really cool. But that was his famous one-liner was, the devil made me do it. Blaming the devil. And you know, we have all kinds of things that we make up about the devil. And we talk about the devil. And oftentimes it's in a very light kind of a way. I mean, you know, we have pictures of this thing with the horns and, you know, he's got this cute little tail and stuff. But you know what? We have to be very careful as believers. There is a creature called the devil, Satan, Lucifer, all the same person. And as believers, we have to understand something. And then we're going to take a look at that this morning. Who are we really fighting for? Who are we really fighting? That's the title of the message. Who are you fighting? And Paul gives us a very clear and succinct idea of who that is. So that we have an understanding from our own lives as believers. And we can be prepared to be able to be doing the things that we need to do when we understand who this war is about. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. This whole section could take 5 years to preach on. But we're not going to do that. Okay, cool. But we do need to understand some principles from Paul's teaching here that are very important. And we talk lightly about the devil, about Satan and all those things. But it's very, very important that we understand these principles. Father, we pray that you would help us as we look to your word. And I know that Satan has his schemes and he seeks to blind our minds to the truth of what's really happening and to the truth of who he really is. So, Lord, open up our hearts today to help us understand and be prepared for the spiritual warfare that we are in. We praise you for your victory in Jesus Christ, and we thank you for him in his name. Amen. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Something basic to the Christian life is what I would call preparation. Preparation. And when we're going to take a look at this whole thing about who are you fighting, we need to understand this, that the first thing that God's talking about here is that you need strength. Notice what he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The unprepared believer will soon become the believer who seeks to serve the Lord in his own power and his own strength. He'll become the believer who will eventually begin losing a concept of confidence in his life. We need to understand there's a very basic principle that we learn over and over and over again in the scriptures, and that is this. As a believer, your strength is, and underline this, dependence on God. Dependence on God. The strength of your Christian life is how dependent upon God am I? How willing am I to admit my weakness? That I need his strength. That's the key if we're going to understand this thing about what we're fighting. Being strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul said this, I can do what? All things through him, being God, who strengthens me. God is the source of our strength. It's not the amount of strength that we're talking about that's important, but it's this, who's the source of our strength? That's God. And we need to understand that. In the ultimate sense, we need to understand our battles have already been won. Here's the thing. We're starting off with victory. So when we go into this whole section about this struggle, we need to understand we're coming at it from a point of victory. In his crucifixion and his resurrection, Jesus Christ destroyed Satan and his power of sin and his power of death. He destroyed that. Paul says, thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also says, if you believe it is Paul, some of us aren't sure, the writer of Hebrews says this, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So God has already given us the victory through Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? It is. We should be excited about that. We're operating on the basis of victory through Jesus Christ. So now, as a result of that, we need his strength. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Understand your strength has to come from God in this struggle. The next thing that we need to understand is that God has given us provision. Notice what he says in verse 11, in the first part of 11. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. That's God's provision for you. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, though we live this body, though we're here on this world, in this physical world, we do not war according to the flesh. We can't do it. We can't fight the battle that we're in spiritually because we're not strong enough. But the weapons of our warfare, Paul says, they're not from the flesh. They're not physical. They're not anything you can conjure up, but they're divinely powerful. They come from God for the destruction of fortresses. My strength and your strength as a believer has to come from God in this spiritual warfare. Now, when Paul, and we're going to look at this later on, but when we talk about the full armor of God, it's not something to be taken off and put on occasionally. Okay, I'm going to take the armor of God off. Now I'm going to put it on. No, the sense that we have here is that you are to have it on permanently. It is to be your constant companion. The armor of God is to be worn at all times. You have it on you at all times. The armor of God is to be your lifelong companion. Paul then says, okay, put the armor of God, and here's what he says. In order that you may be able to what? Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Stand firm. To stand firm means to hold a critical position, to be able to do that while you are under attack. It's the position of that soldier who is standing there, and he's being firm. His feet, and we're going to talk about having your feet shod the proper way. We'll look at some of the armor of God. But it's standing firm, taking a stance, so that you don't lose your foothold. Why? Because you have an enemy. Paul very clearly tells us who that enemy is in the second part of that verse. That you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The enemy against which we need God's strength and his armor is Satan, the devil. Now that word schemes is a very interesting word because we miss that. We look over that word sometimes, that you may be able to withstand the schemes of a devil. The word schemes there is an English word which is really meaning method. It's what we get our word method from. And it carries the idea of cunningness, of craftiness, of stealth, of something that is secretly coming against you. It's the same picture of a wild animal who is stalking its prey. And it's stalking its prey without the prey even knowing about it. I remember we had some friends out in Wyoming. They went camping up in Glacier Park. And they were hiking. They're our age. And they were hiking. And I remember that, was it her that had the bear spray on? You always carry bear spray. I carried bear spray and I carried a .45. I always carried my .45, my Ruger with me. Had it with me everywhere. I like the bear spray, but I like the Ruger because it's a little bit more permanent. But they were walking. They were walking in Glacier, and all of a sudden, she had this sense. I mean, she was in front of him, and they're walking, and he and she both got this sense, and she happened to look up over to the right, and a parallel to the trail, there was this huge grizzly bear walking right alongside them. And she kind of let her husband John know about this, and he says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to start walking very slowly and don't make any sudden moves, just keep walking, and I'm going to get the bear spray. And about that time, she saw that the bear took off and went into the woods, and she's thinking, he's going to eat us. And she took off running, and he was reaching, trying to grab the bear spray. Fortunately, the bear did not attack them. But what happens is that oftentimes in bear attacks, that bear is actually going to circle around and make it look like he's not there anymore, and he will come up behind you on the other side and attack you. That's what Satan does. That's the picture that we have here of these schemes. It's his cunningness. He comes at us. Understand this, he is very diabolical. We cannot even comprehend how evil he is. He is nothing but total evilness. But he's very cunning. And it was used there to understand that Satan's schemes are built around deception and around stealth. So we need to understand that he is a scheming enemy. The next thing we need to understand here is that who are you really fighting? Who are you really fighting? Notice what he says in verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, other people, but against the rulers, against the powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, other people. The word struggle there was used of hand-to-hand combat, and especially of wrestling. It's a picture of wrestling is what it means. Struggle. I remember when I was in college, we had to take a PE class, and one of them that I signed up for was a wrestling class. And at that time, I was pretty skinny. I was, before I took my weight training class, it was part of the reason why I took my weight training class, because I was in the wrestling class. But in wrestling, I'm going to have to say this. How many of you have ever wrestled, by the way? Do we have any professional wrestlers here? Okay. Long time ago. When you look at sports, when you look at wrestling per se, would you say that it's probably one of the toughest sports that there is? Yeah, and why? From your perspective, why? So you're using your strength and your mind both. And you're doing it not just partially, but you're doing it when? All the time. It was one of the most grueling things I've ever done. I had 3 months of this, and it was grueling. Because when you're there wrestling, when you're struggling, that's the same word here, when you're struggling, you are putting every ounce of every energy of every fiber of your body into that opponent. You never stop, not only physically, but physically and mentally. One of the things that we learned while I was taking that wrestling course is that you're looking for ways in which to deceive your opponent. You may be as strong as he is, or he as strong as you, and the only way that you're ever going to be able to do that is one of the strategies or the schemes is to try to trick your opponent about what your next move will be. in order to be able to throw them off guard and to be able to overtake them. As in our day now, wrestling in Paul's day was characterized by that same thing, the actual physical part of wrestling, by trickery and deception. But in Rome at the time, that conflict was very real. And if you were the winner, you were alive at the end of the match. If you were the loser, you were dead meat, because there was only one person coming out of that alive, and that was the winner. So it was very, very real. That's the image that Paul gives us here about this conflict. And although Satan and his demons are doomed, the Bible tells us, to the bottomless pit in hell prepared for them, right now they are still trying to change their fate. And in the process of doing that, they break, or trying to break, the power of God and destroy all the things of God. Paul calls the devil's helpers this: rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This suggests a definite army of created beings that assist Satan in his attacks. He can't be everywhere at one time. So he's got all these demons. And yeah, they move a lot faster than we can, but they can only be in one place at one time. But they call upon, he calls upon them to assist him in his attack, especially against believers in the body of Christ. The Apostle John indicates in Revelation that probably one third of the angels fell when Satan rebelled against God. If you want to read about Satan's rebel against God, I believe that you're going to find it in Isaiah chapter 14. Write this down, Isaiah 14, 12 to 17. And it speaks about the angel of light, who was called the star of the dawn of the morning. He was the great and beautiful star. And at that time, he chose and wanted to be like God. And because of that, he was cast out of heaven. I believe that's a picture of Satan. And when Satan went, he took with him one third. That's Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. So one third of God's created angels were doomed to eternal separation from God. So look at Revelation chapter 12 to see where they're going to be. Here's the point, though. Here's what Paul is trying to tell us from this whole section. There is a spiritual battle going on each and every day in this world, and in the sphere of the heavenlies. That's what Paul's saying here, that it's in the sphere of the heavenlies, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness, what? In the heavenly places. There is a battle going on. And you and I, whether we like it or not, are part of this battle. That suggests a definite strategy. That's why it's important that we need to understand this, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against Satan. And Satan is opposing the believer in many, many ways. People are the pawns. When you look at the whole world situation today, when you look at this whole concept, something new of terrorism, and the way it's happening, we've seen London now that got attacked again yesterday, the bridge. We see this evilness. We see all these things happening and taking place. The people that are doing that are pawns in Satan's hands. Our real struggle isn't against them. Yes, they're the ones that are carrying it out, but the real struggle is something even far more subtle and something more spiritual, and that is Satan and his world forces, his whole mindset. People are the pawns. The real battle is with this hierarchy of evil. When you look at that section there in Ephesians, it's a hierarchy. There are people who are, and creatures who are higher than others in power and in stature. Paul's purpose is not to explain the details of this demonic hierarchy, but gives us an idea of its power, and it's sophisticated. It's really, really very, very sophisticated. So Satan does what? He opposes the believer in many ways. What are some of the ways that he does? Well, he wants to cause us to distrust God. He wants us not to trust God. Because our greatest strength is to trust God. Satan's objective is often to make us distrust God. His supreme desire is to convince us that God is untrustworthy. He may try to make our lives difficult by bringing in difficult circumstances. He may
bring difficult circumstances into your lives in one shape or another. So when you think about that, we understand that. And make sure you know this too. You know, Flip Olson's thing was, the devil made me do it. Okay, it's not always Satan who's bringing about difficult circumstances. Sometimes God might be disciplining you. Maybe you're walking in sin. And remember, Hebrews says, those whom the Lord loves, he does what? He chastens, he disciplines. Just like you discipline your child when they're doing something wrong, in order to help them to learn what's right and wrong, you discipline them, you spank them. Sometimes God may be spanking you through your difficult circumstances to get you to wake up and see where you're wrong. Sometimes God may allow a trial. It's hard for us to understand. He may allow a trial to come in because he loves you so much and he wants to prove his faithfulness to you during that trial. So be careful about blaming everything on Satan. Because not all trials come from Satan. Satan will also seek to create doctrinal confusion and falsehood. Doctrinal confusion and falsehood. Therefore, we need to know God's word in its totality. A believer who is confused about God's word may be tossed, as Paul says, may be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We need to be studying the word of God. Satan also seeks to undermine our service to God by doing what? By creating divisions within the body of Christ, in the church. And right now, while we are here, while we are talking and while I'm speaking, there is a spiritual presence that is evil, seeking to bring about division in this church. We need to be guarding our hearts and minds. And that's why, as a body, that's why Jesus prayed for unity among his followers. The enemy knows that God will not work effectively in and through a body of believers who are not working lovingly with one another. We've got a lot of things coming up now. We've got vacation Bible school, our night out, kids' night out, whatever you want to call it. We've got other activities coming up. And you know what? Satan's going to seek to bring about division in this church. Guard your hearts against that. Satan will also seek to persuade us to do what? And I think this is probably a good one too. To trust in our own resources rather than God. That's why Paul at the very beginning, I think, says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Don't trust yourself to be able to do this fight because you aren't strong enough. You're never going to defeat him. David, in 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1 to 8, it says that, the first verse says that Satan persuaded David to take, it's very key, very clear, Satan persuaded David to do what? Take a census. Do you know what God told the kings that they should never do? Take a census. Don't keep stock of your strength. I want to be your strength. And then at the very end, it says that David, after he had done that, was convicted in his spirit about his sin. He said, Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned. But the first verse says that it was Satan that worked in. So there's that scheming, that cunningness. Satan oftentimes comes to us and plants things in our hearts and our minds that are contrary to what God will want you to be doing or thinking. Be aware of those. Be very guarded in your life. So don't trust in your own resources. We need to be careful not to be drawn into the world by its worldliness, by allowing the world to squeeze us. Satan will also seek to do this. He'll seek to make you outwardly disobey God by living maybe immorally instead of morally, by lying instead of telling the truth, by hating instead of loving, and on the list goes. Contradictions to God's word, contradictions to God's character, that's what Satan will do. So he's going to get you to outwardly disobey God. That's how we got in this mess to begin with, in the Garden of Eden. And it's continuing on now because of our sin nature. In the end, here's what Paul says. Paul says that we are to resist and to stand firm. To resist and stand firm. As Christians, we are at war and will continue to be until Jesus Christ returns and takes charge of this earth. In our struggle with evil forces, we need God's provision, we need his strength, we need his resources and the armor of God. Martin Luther, probably the great reformer, when he was going against the establishment of the church at that day, which was very legalistic, and was not loving, and in no shape or form was a church of faith. And Martin Luther, as he stood before his accusers, he was condemned for declaring that men are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, not by something they could do to earn favor with God, which was the accepted way in the church. And because of that, he stood condemned. But here's what he said, quote, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise." There were three men during the 1940s. Don't know anything about them. I just know that it was during the 1940s. And they were conducting evangelistic campaigns and meetings. And it was in Ireland. They were together there. And at this time, it was a revival. And they saw tremendous amounts of people coming to know Jesus Christ. There was a movement of the Spirit. And 3 years later, one of the people that got saved was now a pastor, an Irish pastor. And he was influenced by these three men's services. And he was trying to figure out where they were. And he was told that only one of those three was still serving faithfully to the Lord. Of the other two, one had totally turned against the Lord, and the third was an alcoholic. Here's the lesson. Some believers do everything well in the Lord's work. We don't, however, continue to stand firm. When the battle's over and the smoke clears, the issue is not whether we were found standing true to the Lord. John warned this, "Watch yourselves, watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." The key is watch yourself. Be aware of Satan's cunning. There have been countless men and women who have taught faithfully Sunday school for many years, led many people to Jesus Christ, pastored a church, led Bible studies, and have done other various ministries, only one day to give up, turn their backs on the Lord and His service, and disappear. Now, while we don't lose our salvation, we do lose our effectiveness to be able to serve God the way we should. The circumstances may be different, but the underlying reason is always the same. We did not resist, and we didn't stand firm. In closing, in the great spiritual warfare in which we are doing battle each and every day, we are told this, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Because of this great multitude, there are legions of these spiritual beings. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. He's already won the victory. The greatest joys come during the greatest victories. And the greatest victories come from some of the greatest battles that you and I will ever go through with Satan. But when they are fought in the power and in the might of the strength of God and in His full armor, and then we need to also understand, as we're fighting them, who we are really fighting. We are in a spiritual warfare. We're going to take a look next at some of the armor of God that we need in that spiritual warfare. What is it that you're going through in your life right now? Can you see some struggles in your life? Can you see some battles? Be aware of the fact that some of those things, whether they're temptations to sin, whether they're issues of relationships with other people, whatever they might be, that the root issue of that might be a spiritual battle that you're going through. You ask God for His strength during that time. Be aware of it. Don't be naive. We are in a battle. Our real enemy is Satan and his dominion. Father, we thank You that You have overcome Satan, that You have given the victory over sin and over death through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask now that as believers, we would be aware of Satan and his schemes. Help us to be alert, not to be naive, but to be aware that he is a very powerful creature, but he is a fallen creature. And praise God, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.